We assemble this morning as children of God, the Lord's church, grateful unto him for Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What a wonderful thought and a beautiful scripture that reflects the hymn we've just finished singing redemption's sweet song. To be among the redeemed of God, we are grateful. To assemble as his church, we are thankful. I'll have a few more thank yous and a little bit more personal things in the Bible class hour as we talk about the work at International Gospel Hour and the part that you play. But permit me to say at this time, thank you for what you mean to us. It is an honor and a privilege to be here this morning, not only to speak next hour, but to preach this hour. Usually when I ask, do you want me to speak during the worship hour, I seldom get turned down. Kind of allows your preacher a little respite, and that is fine. So to Brother Smith, Brother Lewis, Brother Brock, thank you as elders for allowing me to be here. And I wish not to embarrass anyone, and that's not my point, but to the beloved brother that led the prayer, thank you for that prayer. You brought it from your heart. You prayed with and for your family to our Father. And you said things that need to be said. And I want you to know it was a blessing to be taken by the hand to the throne of the Father and to pray with you this morning, good brother. Thank you. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I'd like for you, in reflection of the scripture that was read earlier, that's our lesson text this hour. So if you look once again at Matthew 16, 21 through 27, we'll be taking our lesson from there this morning as we consider some thoughts concerning priorities. You've probably heard the story, don't know that I can go exactly with it, but I'll do the best that I can, of a father whose son was about to graduate high school. He was proud of his accomplishments, so he called him in and he sat him down. And he said, well, son, I know you're about to graduate high school, and that's a big thing, but you're going off to college. What then? He said, well, daddy, I guess, you know, I'll go to college, study, get my degree. I probably be there 4 years and do what I need to do. He said, fine, son, what then? He said, well, daddy, I'm going to take that degree, and Lord willing, I hope to find a job that will reflect my degree and my work. He said, fine, what then? He said, well, dad, I guess I'll meet somebody and get married. He said, oh, that's wonderful, son, what then? Well, about this time, the boy's wondering. He said, well, I suppose we're going to have the grand youngins. By the way, let me say this. It's great to be in a part of the country where I can say youngins and I don't have to translate it. He said, well, I guess I'll give you those grand youngins you've been wanting, daddy. He said, well, that's good. What then? He said, well, I guess I'll keep providing for my family, keep working, and raise my kids. He said, that's fine, son. What then? He said, well, I guess the time will come where I'll retire and probably enjoy my grandchildren. He said, fine, son, what then? He said, well, daddy, I guess finally the time will come that I will, like everybody else, I guess I'll die. He said, that's right, son. What then? You see, that simple illustration reminds us of priorities that should go along the way. The son never reflected what God was going to do for him, how God was going to play a part in his life. And friends, sometimes we need to pause and get our priorities in the right way. Now, this lesson is brought today for a couple of reasons. One, I thought it would be a good lesson. All of us need help with priorities, getting things in order. We say we live in an age where everything is done quickly for us and we should be able to have all the time on our hands, but we find that sometimes we simply don't. We find that we fly a lot of times by the seat of our britches, as the old saying goes, and we don't have our priorities in line. Another reason is I wanted to share with you the number one downloaded podcast episode of the International Gospel Hour called Pondering on Priorities. I was a little surprised to see that that was the top one that people will listen to and download through the podcast options that we have. But on the other hand, people are always looking, how can I get things in order? How can I handle this better? There was one year at Polishing the Pulpit, and I will withhold his name. The speaker was given an assignment to preachers, time management for the preacher. He got up and said this, I bought $85 worth of books on time management and haven't found the time to read the first one yet. You ever been there? I think we all have. I want you to consider with me some lessons from Matthew 16, 21 through 27. And I want you to think with me of this text, and if you will, look at the first three verses there, verses 21 through 23, where Jesus has told Peter and his apostles what would happen to him, how he would go to Jerusalem, how he would be crucified, how he would be risen the third day. And Peter took him aside. Imagine Peter beginning to rebuke the Lord. And as you see Peter's rebuke, it is one that obviously Peter did not want to hear. And Peter was trying to reason, Lord, this will not happen. Keep in mind the apostles were men. They were learning as they were going. But one key lesson we learn on thinking about our priorities, number one, folks, get this. What appears to look good will actually blind us. I mean, what appears to look good and fine will blind us. Now take Peter, for example, here as we think of this text. Peter meant well. He did not want this to happen to the Lord. He didn't want to hear of the matters, what the Lord was going to face. But what actually he tried to do really blinded him, because Jesus told him that you are not desiring the things that be of God. You're desiring the things that be of man. Folks, in our priorities, sometimes what will look good can blind us. For example, many times our priorities and our choices are not really a good choice over a bad choice, but actually a choice that needs to be a better choice. I'll give you a good one. Next week is your gospel meeting with Mike Hickson. And I know Mike was to be here last week, and Brother Brock was sharing with me of the change of date. I know Mike Hickson. You better gird your loins and be ready for a wonderful gospel meeting, because that old boy can bring it and he can shuck the corn off the cob and let it show. Mike will do a great job. Folks, may I ask, what is your priority for your gospel meeting? I am greatly encouraged to walk in here on the Lord's Day and see this place 75-80% full. That's great. Very little space left. And I'm grateful to see that. And know next week in a gospel meeting, you're going to see other folks here. But folks, a lot of times in gospel meetings, here is where the good or the better can happen. There is nothing wrong with taking a vacation. But brethren, when we know of things planned for our local work in the Lord's church, we need to make certain that we work those vacations secondary. There is nothing wrong with boys and girls playing organized baseball and softball, whatever the case might be. Grandparents love to watch them. Parents love to encourage them. But if they're on a ball field when they should be in a gospel meeting, you're slowly chipping away at a young faith that as they get older, they're not going to recognize the proper priorities. I love it when I hold a gospel meeting and I look up and I see parents come in the door and children in ball uniforms. I tell them I love to see my boys and girls in uniform because they have a priority that is set. They let that coach know, and that light shines greater than what it is. Nothing against athletics. But folks, sometimes what appears to be good will blind us. And we need to set forth that priority. Matter of fact, when I hold a gospel meeting, I pray for a torrential rain downpour every day between 1 and 3 o'clock. Because it washes out the ball fields and it helps some folks that are challenged in their faith. So next week on your prayer list, put in your bulletin, pray for rain. Plenty of it. Let it clear off so you can get here that night. Pray for rain. You see, what appears to look good can blind us. Peter meant well, but it wasn't the things that belong to God. Peter, you must desire the things that belong to God. You're not mindful of those things. When Jesus said we can know the truth will make us free. In John 8 and verse 32, thy word is truth. John 17 and verse 17, through his word he instructs us of the priorities that we are to have. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what things? The physical things will be added unto you. We seek first his kingdom, Matthew 6, verse 33. He tells us of the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet, how beautifully arrayed they are, God provides. The birds of the air, God provides for them. God provides for us. We place him first in all that we do. We make Jesus God. We make his word the hub of the wheel of our life that will turn us properly and keep us well aligned. To the Christians in Colossae, Colossians 3 verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ. How were they risen with Christ? Back in chapter 2 and verse 12, risen with him through baptism, through the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. They were risen with him in baptism. That parallels with Romans 6 verses 3 through 6. And if you then be risen with Christ, you seek the things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. You buried that old man of sin, Romans 6, 3 through 6. And you were raised to walk in newness of life. You bury that old man of sin. And you have your thoughts on the things that are above. That's where our treasure should be. Matthew 6, verses 18 through 20. Dear friends, as we think on these things, look closer with me now at the number one challenge in the Lord's church at verse 24. Parallel here in Luke 9 and Mark chapter 8, we find what I have thought greatly is the greatest need for the church today. Notice, if anyone desires to come after me, that is a conditional statement. You and I make the decision. We desire and then we pursue. It cannot be done for us. You cannot make an individual obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it must be our choice. If we desire to come after God, it's our choice after Christ. Number two, let him deny himself. The word deny means to refuse. We refuse the things that we want, those things that may look good but can blind us. We put our priorities second. We put God priority first. We refuse ourselves when it comes to what is best for God. Next week, there's no question. You know where you're going to be Sunday and Wednesday, for you're here every week. But Tuesday and Monday and Tuesday as well, and the other things of which you are involved. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Luke 9:23 says, take up his cross daily. Not only do we have the desire to come after Christ, but now that demands a decision and an action. It's not enough to talk it, but we must walk it, reflecting our faith, James 2, verse 18 and following. And then notice fourth, and follow me. He desires to come. He denies himself. He takes up his cross. He will follow the Christ. Special trust and conviction in our Lord, where there is salvation in none other, Acts 4 and verse 12. As I mentioned the prayer moments ago, as we prayed together as the family of God here at Elkmont, and we pray for circumstances, and there are some things we cannot control, but aren't you thankful that we can cast our care upon the Father, of who created this world in 6 days, of who brought forth a worldwide flood, and who resurrected his Son from the dead on the third day, and we can cast our care upon him, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, we can set our priorities upon him, and trust him, and walk with him, and allow him to provide for us. Dear friends, we are reminded, don't let what looks good actually blind us. To keep our priorities in the right place, to keep our Lord first. Here's a second lesson that I want you to note with me from verse 26. When I was talking to Jeremy earlier, he said, do you have a song you would like? And I said, well, does that book have What Shall It Profit a Man? And I'm surprised it doesn't have it. It's one of the older books. A lot of you may recall that song, not all earth's gold and silver can make a sinner whole. What shall it profit thee, O man, if thou shalt lose thy soul? And then that would be that emphatic chorus, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Taken here from verse 26. If a man gains everything, and loses his soul, he's lost it all. When my daddy passed away, thinking now, yesterday, some 15 years ago, my sister and I placed in the casket with him two of his favorite caps. Now, I'm not being funny here, folks. We know they would be of no use to Daddy, but you and I have found sharing something with one who is going to be gone from us is a way to help you and I heal and to share. If you will, that's really all that Daddy took with him. We can't take it with us. We are reminded if we gain the whole world and lose our own souls, we've lost it all. So I want you to think about this phrase. He who dies with the most toys still dies. I know what you were thinking. Soon as I said, he who dies with the most toys, you probably thought how that phrase goes. He who dies with the most toys wins. No, that's false. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Let's think on this as we consider gaining the whole world. The Lord provides. The Lord helps us. We try to be good stewards of what God has given us. Yes, we want to pay our bills. We want to provide. We want to be responsible. Yes, indeed. But then we have that to get over into the line of covetousness or greed that is condemned. Think about that rich farmer in Luke chapter 12 who wanted to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. He had a great year, great crop, wanted to tear down his barns, build bigger barns, and he knew. He was so arrogant, trusting in riches, because we all know if you have a good crop one year, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a bumper crop the next year. There are a lot of things that can happen. And yet we're reminded, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. So true. Covetousness is called idolatry in Colossians 3 and verse 5. It becomes our God and it takes the place of our God. Sometimes we want to work, we want to save, we want to attain, and we leave God out of the picture. We want to have all the overtime, but we're not willing to give God our time. And we face those things, and then we become where we chase the almighty dollar. We dig ourselves so deep that sometimes we can't get out, but be aware of covetousness, a work of the flesh, Galatians 5 and verse 20. Folks, when we talk about priorities, we need to make certain that our priorities are right within our stewardship, what we make, how we provide, and the charge that is before us. Think about Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, who had it all, and at the end he acknowledged it was vanity. And he said the most important thing for man, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, when you get down to it. Friends, I read this. This is dated back to 2008, but I think it stands true today. We have become a culture addicted to instant gratification and fixation on the material. And increasingly, concepts such as duty, self-denial, hard work, delayed gratification, and patience have been swept away. Folks, that was stated in a magazine back 2008, 16 years ago. And is it not true to this day that man is not a prophet nor the son of one, but did he not call it? And do we not still see that today? My friends, it is not the savings of the wealth or everything that we contain on this, what we can attain on this earth, but the saving of our souls. When we die, folks, all will be left behind. So we ask ourselves, is our treasure in heaven? Matthew 6 and verse 20. I share with aged friends, and I use the term aged because it's a biblical term that it doesn't get me in trouble. And I share with my aged friends, spend it all on yourselves and leave nothing for the children to fight over. Spend it all on yourself. Give it to the Lord. Give it to a good work. Press onward with it. Renita and I, that's my beloved bride. One time I said, Renita is the girl I live with, and it shocked that congregation so bad till I told them I was married to her. I don't say that anymore. But my beloved bride, we were talking one day about our first place we had, that little apartment. She said, my, and look at us now. What are we going to do with all this stuff we've accumulated? I said, baby, let's sell it and retire early. And didn't quite get too far on that one. But is it not true, folks, that we seem like that we start off, we want everything, then through the years we accumulate it, then when we get older we want to get rid of it. But you know, a lot of times those things can control us. A great reminder here. What's important? The spiritual. He who dies with the most toys still dies. What is it? Where is our treasure? May I take us home with this lesson and look at verse 3, verse 27. Note that each one according to his works that God will reward when he will return. When judgment day comes, we will be standing before him. Here is something for you to ponder. Will the Lord's return be your reward or your rejection? In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing the song of exhortation, the song of invitation. Oh, prepare to meet thy God. It's a humbling song taken from Amos chapter 4. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And a time for you and I to stand during that invitation song, not only to exhort others to think of their relationship with God, but also to look at our very lives. The Lord will record each according to his works. We see that reflected in the teaching of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, as well as Revelation 20 verses 12 and 13. Dear friends, if you are not prepared to meet your Lord today, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you've been away from the Lord and his church and yet you have not made things right before God, don't dare go out that door. Don't dare go out that door without making things right when you know things need to be right. It is a tragedy when we know our lives need to be right, but we want to delay it, we want to put it off, we want to do something else, and it is a tragic thing. We don't continue to do wrong when we're trying to prepare something, a meal, fix a vehicle, take care of something around the house. We want to be right, we want to be accurate. But when it comes to our very souls, we do not need to delay when we know what we need to do. Well, Brother Jeff, I got to get a few things in order. Well, hon, you're the one that messed yourself up first. And if you keep trying to get yourself straightened out, that's your problem. Why not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him help you straighten those things out? When you bring a repentant heart, a confessing faith, in a body that needs to put the old man of sin away, and we're raised to walk in newness of life, you're better off than you are. That's done through Christ, through our obedience, and we couldn't save ourselves if we tried with our own ideas. Have you ever thought about, folks, the inhabitants of hell? Oh, Brother Archie, you're talking about hell. Yes. You see, when you die and judgment comes, there's a choice. It's going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. Now, we've been singing redemption, sweet song, but there's another side to it as well. You know, as I look through the scriptures, I find that those who do not obey God, who've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be condemned to hell. That's 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not designed to scare you, but to alert you of the priority that should be in life. Why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why not make those arrangements to miss hell all the way around? Have you ever considered those who err from the truth will be lost? James says in James 5, 19 through 20, that if you're able to reach one who has erred from the truth, you've saved a soul from death and covered a multitude of sins. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 20, Peter gives a sad depiction, a horrible depiction of one who has left the faith of Christ, gone back into the world, compares it to a sow that was washed, returning back to the mud or the mire or the hog pen, or the dog returning to his vomit to lap it up again. How tragic. Friend, if you've erred from the truth, you can come home to God. Some of the sweeter reunions I have ever witnessed have been when someone comes home who's been away from the Lord's church, and you see people that have to stop singing because they're overtaken with emotion. You see mamas cry and daddies dab their eyes. And if you need to come back to our Lord, I trust that you will. May I give you a third one? And you're thinking, a third one? Okay, those that don't obey the gospel and those who have erred from the truth, there's a third one. Have you ever considered those who think they're doing right? You know, in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The one that will obey the gospel, the one that will come back. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works, etc., etc.? And Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. What about Matthew 25 when we look at verses 41 through 46? Of those who, standing before the Lord, Lord, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? Etc., etc. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Brethren, when I think about these things, is it not sobering? And when the spiritual is not first in our lives, when we allow the things of the world to actually blind us, and when we try to accumulate the most toys knowing that we can't take it with us, does it not humble us to ask the question, will the Lord's return be your reward or your rejection? You and I do not want the Lord to reject us. And you know, we know not when he will come. Men have been futile in their predictions and their thoughts, and they've missed it by a mile every time. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but the Father only. Matthew 24, 35, 36. I don't know when the Lord will return, but I do know this. I need to be prepared when he does. Again, our invitation song in a moment is Prepare to Meet Thy God. May I ask a question? Are you prepared to meet your God? Friend, do you have your priorities where they need to be? Do you have your priorities for God, or have we talked about things and you're thinking on this and you're thinking, I put too much here and not enough for my Lord. I'm not following his will and his way. As I mentioned, those who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I know not of a better time. I know not a time you should delay. There were those in the New Testament that when they heard that beautiful message of the gospel of Christ, when they heard that beautiful message, they responded to the Lord that very day. All things are ready. You take a faith in God, and you take that broken heart, that heart that's been pricked with the gospel message. You change that heart, repenting of your sin, confessing that faith in Christ, being buried with him in baptism, putting the old man of sin away, putting on the new man. Would you not love to do that today? Have you not delayed that long enough? You've thought it through, but your answer is this. That's what you need to do. If you've erred from the faith, dear brother or dear sister, you've allowed this world to blind you, to lead you where you don't need to go, we hope that we will help you get your priorities in line. We will pray with you. We will pray for you to our Father in whom all blessings flow. We will pray with you and pray for you. We don't throw stones. We bring people to keep them up on the rock of Jesus Christ. So dear friends here at Elkmont, guests, all, if this lesson applies to you, there's a change that needs to be made in your life today. This is your best time. Will you come as we stand and sing together?